This week is Parshat Tzav, and although it would be tempting to have a little Shirayim from Purim, it would be tempting to talk about Parah and the Arba Parshiot, it would be tempting to talk about Pesach, which is next on our calendar. But Parshat Tzav is one that's often overlooked, because in a normal year it's Shabbat HaGadol, and in Shemana Muberet it's in the middle of the Arba Parshiot. So we're going to look at Parshat Tzav. And take a look at the opening of Parshat Tzav, and you find the beginning of a pattern that's going to appear throughout the beginning of the parasha. So just a quick overview. Parshat Tzav is made up of two very distinct and clearly marked parts. The first part is what we would call Perek Vav and Zayin, which is Torat HaKorbanot. And the reason I'm saying it that way is because every section starts with Zot Torat HaBlank. Zot Torat HaOlah, Zot Torat HaMincha, Zot Torat HaShlamim, Zot HaChatat, Zot Torat HaSham, Zot Torat HaShlamim. I have all of those. The second part of Parshat Tzav, which is Perek Chet, is the fulfillment of the second half of Parshat Tetzaveh, which is convenient, Tzav and Tetzaveh. The second half of Parshat Tetzaveh, if you recall from a few weeks ago, is the command of the inauguration of Aharon and his sons. And in Tzav, we're told that it actually happened. And so it goes through all the same details of the special korban that was brought and the anointment, etc., of that. Now, the first half, or the first section, really, it's two-thirds of Tzav, again, is Torat HaKorbanot. And at the end, there's a summary, two summary psukim about these are Lariv, Korbanahem, Minbar Sinai, Bahar Sinai. It's, it summarizes the first seven chapters of Vayikra. So a quick point is that Vayikra and Tzav, at least the first part of Tzav, look like they're mirrors of each other. And they look a little bit repetitious because Vayikra, of course, starts with the Olah, and then the Mincha, and then the Shlamim, and then the Chatat, and the Asham. And here we have the same five groupings in Tzav. And what's the difference? And the difference seems to be is that if you look at the first psukim, you have in source one is the beginning of the parsha, and the rest of it, it's all Aharon and Aharon Uvanav, meaning that all of Tzav is directed towards the Kohanim. And if you look back, all of Vayikra is directed to Bnei Israel, meaning if you want to bring a Korban, this is what you do, and you do all of this stuff, and at this point, the Kohanim will take over and we'll do da-da-da-da. And the Mincha, you can bring five different kinds of Menachot, and the Kohen will take over and do da-da-da. But here, it's here at Kohanim, when somebody does da-da-da-da, you take over and do this. Now, when we get to the Mincha, which is the next parsha, and then the Chatat, and then the Asham, we get lots of details of the procedure that the Kohen is supposed to do with that Korban. And that makes sense. And Zot Torat, which we also are familiar with in Bamidbar, like Zot Torat Mincha Taknaot, Zot Torat Knaot, Zot Torat Tanazir, we understand this is the law applying to them. And by the way, Zotorat Negatzarat, also later in Vayikra, this is the law applying to that thing. These are the details. The problem is the first parasha. And that's what we're going to look at and try to figure out what's going on. Because if you take a look at it, it's kind of strange. We'll read through. And at this point, you would expect to find out about Hefshet, Vinituach, about flaying and filleting the animal, about washing the parts, about bringing it up, etc. Instead, we get none of that. He ha'olah, to focus on the olah, al mokda al hamizbeach, on the fire on the mizbeach, kol ha'layla ara boker, it burns all night into the to the morning, ve'esha mizbeach tu gadbo, and the fire of the mizbeach burns it. And the Kohen puts on the linen garments and linen tunic and a linen pants. And then he lifts off the ashes from what's burnt off on the Mizbeach, the Samoa Eitz on the Mizbeach, and he puts them next to the Mizbeach. This is the mitzvah that we refer to as Trumat HaDeshen, in which he takes a little bit of the deshen off the mizbeach and brings it down onto the ground in front of the mizbeach and places it there. And then he takes off those clothes and puts on other clothes, which are really chol clothes. And he takes them out of the camp. So that would mean in the context of Yerushalayim, outside of the city. And puts it in a makom tahor. The fire stays burning on the mizbeach. And the Kohen has to put wood on the mizbeach every morning. And place the olah on it. And also burn the shlamim on there. The esh tamid tukol mizbeach lo tichbeh. There must always be fire on the mizbeach. It can never be put out. What's missing here? What's missing is everything. Do you realize we're expecting zot torat ha'olah? That's what the title statement is. And yet, there's nothing about the olah in here. There's about cleaning the mizbeach, about the fire on the mizbeach, a lot of emphasis that the fire should never be extinguished. But there's nothing about the olah. We don't hear dinim of the olah. Now, this would sit well with us if there was nothing else in the parasha and it went straight to the inauguration, or if the other things in the parasha were similarly about, shall we say, relatively tertiary concerns, as if to say, well, we gave you all the main details in Vayikra, and here's a few last-minute concerns. But it's not true, because when you go to Zot Torah HaMincha, you get a lot of details about how to do a mincha. When you go to Zot Torah HaChatat, you get a lot of details about the Chatat, and the Asham, and the Shlamim, details about what parts of the animal, and how long it's eaten for, and how pigul, and you name it. So you got to turn around and say, why is the Olah treated with such... in such a different way? Very strange. So I ask a different question. Why is the Olah first? Now you'll tell me, because the Olah is first in Vayikra. But guess what? The Olah is first in Vayikra, then Mincha, then Shlamim. What about the order in Tzav? It's Olah, Mincha, Chatat, Hashem, and then Shlamim. So we're not wedded to the order in Vayikra. There's a reason why the orders are what they are. But why is the Olah here as first? And the truth is that we could pick up from the end of Vayikra and start with Zot Torah HaChatat and Zot Torah HaAsham, which is the end of Vayikra, and then go Shlamim, Mincha, Chatat, Olah, and we'd have a beautiful chiasmus, and we'd have lots of articles to write. But instead, it starts with the Olah. Now, you take a look at the comment of Reb David Zvi Hoffman here, as you see in Source 2. I'll just point out from the middle, he makes a comment. Because even though, he points out, the focus in this description is about the Olat Tamid Shobein Arbaim, the afternoon Tamid, not the morning Olah, and not other Olot that are brought at different times, but the one that's brought at the end of the day, because that's the one that's going to burn all night. So that's the description in the Pasuk. He says, so he says, but the word olah here doesn't just mean a korban olah. Everything that goes up on the mizbeach. And by the way, they are mentioned here at the end of Pasuk Hei, which itself is kind of strange. Why in the middle of the Olah are you telling me about the Shlamim, which is a whole different Korban? So watch what he says. Meaning, when the Kohen does Trumat HaDeshen, he's not just getting ashes of the Olah. He's getting ashes of everything that was ever up there. So why does it mention, and by the way, now we're turning things inside out. Why does it mention the Olat Ben Arbaim? He says, because when he takes the ashes off the Mizbeach, one thing that for sure is going to be there is ashes from the most recent Korban. There may be ashes from other Korbanot. There almost assuredly are. But for sure he'll be grabbing ashes from that, especially if he's taking it from the top. Okay. That doesn't really answer our question. In fact, that opens the door to our question to try to explore further. which is a beautiful chesed that Reb David Tzvi Hoffman did for us, is to spur us to thinking this way. That really this parsha of the Olah is not about the Olah at all. It's about the Mizbeach, it's about the Eish, and it's about other Korbanot too. So, interesting thing is, what is this Mizbeach called? Remember, there's two famous Mizbachot. There's the small Mizbeach that's inside the Kodesh, which we call Mizbach HaZahav, Mizbach HaKtoret. And then there's the other Mizbeach, which is the big one outside in the courtyard, which is called what?
Mizbach HaNechoshet.
Called Mizbach HaNechoshet, right? Because there's a copper plating cover that they would carry in the Midbar and then fill it with dirt where they were and put it on top, correct? It's also called Mizbach HaOlah, which is curious because it's Mizbach HaShlamim and it's Mizbach HaTodah and Mizbach HaChatat, and yet it's never called any of those things. But it is called Mizbach HaOlah over and over, as you see in a couple places in Shmot. It's called in Vayikra. Mizbach HaOlah is what this is called, as opposed to Mizbach HaKtoret. So Mizbach HaKtoret, I understand why it's called that, because the only thing that's allowed to go on that one is Ktoret. But Mizbach HaOlah, that's not the only thing that goes on it. All Korbanot go on there. So why is it called Mizbach HaOlah? Further question. Where is the first command to actually bring a Korban? Right? Now, I know you're going to tell me Korban Pesach, because you're thinking Pesach already. You already cleaned up from Purim. Thinking Pesach. But I'm going to say something here that'll sound kind of radical, but Korban Pesach's not really a Korban. And by the way, it's never called Korban Pesach. What's it called? It's called HaPesach. What is the Korban Pesach? Because remember, the Korban Pesach in its original setting was not brought to a Mikdash. There were no Kohanim. There were no Chalavim v'Imurim. What happened with it? It was a communal feast. Who was part of that feast? All members of the family. And, in a sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a feast of a brit. It's not a korban in the proper sense of the word. And so now, what's the first korban that we're actually commanded is right here. And that is that we are to bring Kvasim B'nei Shana Shnayim Le'Yom Tamid. This is not the Parshan Pinchas. This is not the mitzvah of the Tamid that we're familiar with. This is a similar description, which is why the little notes tell you, Bali Kriya, watch out, because the words are very close, but not the same. At the end of Parshat Tetzaveh, after that description of the inauguration of the Kohanim, this is the next pasuk. V'zeh asher tasa al mizbeach. So what are you going to do on the mizbeach? Kfasim b'nei shana shtayim le'yom tamid. The Korban Tamid. And then the description in the morning and the evening, what the menachot and the nesachim are there with them. And how does that piece end? Olat tamid l'dorotechem, petach omoed l'fnei Adonai, asher iva'ed lachem sham l'dibarei l'chasham. And the rest of it is all the very glorious, powerful, headline-grabbing purpose of the Mishkan. Everybody will know that I am among B'nai Israel and I took you out of Mitzrayim, etc. We talked about that a couple weeks ago in the context of the Mishkan being a Zechel of the Yetziat Mitzrayim because of its dating, when it's set up. It was 2 weeks ago. But there's another piece to the puzzle. The dedication of the Mizbeach is done with the Olat Tamid. Mizbach HaOlah. And that's how it is inaugurated. And now its inauguration is a daily event. It's not once in history. It's a daily event. And that's, of course, why it's called Tamid. So there's kind of a strangeness here in the way that, going back, the Olah is introduced in Parshat Tzav, because the entire focus is on the Mizbeach, but we're starting to get a picture that really what the Mizbeach is about the Olah. Or shall we say it differently? What the Olah, a function that the Olah serves, is to be the star of the Mizbeach. And Torat HaOlah actually has a lot more to do with the Mizbeach itself than with the Olah. We're going to talk about why. Take a look here at the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot. And he says something curious. He says, Sivanu lavir esh al mizbeach b'chol yom tamid. Right? There's a mitzvah that you have to have fire on the Mizbeach. וזו לא ייתכן, ומה שציווה בהתמדת שום האש על העצים בבוקר ואין ארבעים. In other words, there's a mitzvah to always have fire. But notice now, the Ramban in his Hasagot, and he gets that from our Parsha, the Ramban in his Hasagot, as you know, the Rambam wrote Sefer Mitzvot, and the Ramban had his critique on Sefer Mitzvot, and as a result, there were about 12 mitzvot aseh that the Ramban felt that the Rambam should not have included. And therefore, the Ramban had 12 slots to fill, because you got to get to 248. So he had in section that he called mitzvot sheshechachan harav, mitzvot that the Rambam forgot. I mean, it's a cute little title, called shichate asin. And number 11 is, shenitztavinu lakriv kol ha-korbanot ha-baim benedava o bechova ben shnei ha-timidin. The Ramban thinks it's a mitzvah to say doraita to bring all korbanot that we bring between the two tmidin. What's the one exception, of course, is the Pesach that's brought afterwards, after the tamid shel ben arba'im. But you're not allowed to bring any korban before the tamid shel shachar, and you're not allowed to bring any korban after the tamid shel ben arba'im. Aleh ashlem kol korbanot kulam is the language of the Gemara based on our pasuk. Which means that the Olat HaTamid serves as sort of the host, and I mean that only in the Jewish sense, not the Catholic sense, it serves as the host of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is defined by the Olat HaTamid. It is Mizbach HaOlah, and it is what defines the contours of the Avodah. You start the day with the Olat HaTamid Shoboker, which essentially inaugurates the day of Avodah. And then you bring all the different korbanot you bring, shlamim, chatat, asham, et cetera, and you end the day with a finale, which is the Olat Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im. And so therefore, when the Torah wants to tell you what the Olah is about, what it describes is the Olah's role as the host, as it were, of the Mizbeach. And therefore, the function of the Olah is to burn all night, and then to have it cleaned out so that we can bring another Olah in the morning and continue that process of Tamid. Now take a look here in the Rambam.
Yes, just to clarify.
Yeah.
The Olah that's burning all night long, and then you're bringing the two Tamidim in the morning and at night, or at the end of the day, those are not Olahs, or those are Olahs also?
They're absolutely Olah.
Okay. And right. And just to go back a step, and who what's the require? Why is there, beyond having the Olah burning all the time, like you're talking about, overnight at least, what's the reason for bringing the Olah? Or is the reason simply to have it burning?
What's the reason? Sorry, for what?
Why do we bring in Olah to begin with? What necessitates bringing in Olah? Beyond this Tamid thing.
Excellent question. So Hashem commands us to have an Olat Tamid. And how does it become Tamid? By having one in the morning, one in the evening. So effectively, there's actually parts of that Olah in the Mizbeach all the time.
Correct.
Right? And the idea is to have this constant Olah. But I'd like to suggest that what that is something a little beyond that. Your question really is a good spur for that. If you take a look, and just want to finish with this makor and then discuss it. If you take a look at the Rambam, you know that the Rambam wrote the Mishneh Torah, well, should we put it this way, wrote the Sefer Mitzvot as an introduction to the Mishneh Torah. But he wrote the Mishneh Torah. There's a lot of things that are unique about it. And one of them is that he wrote it as sort of an expansion on the Taryag Mitzvot, and hence Sefer Mitzvot as an introduction. And therefore, in the beginning of the Mishneh Torah, you have that brief list of the mitzvot. It's not Sefer Mitzvot. It's just a very quick, like, two or three words, mitzvah, but it's enumerated. And then, before each set of halachot, the Rambam presents the mitzvot that are in that section. And he simply does it this way. Show you here, in Tmidin Musafin, which is Sefer Avodah. It's Yesh Bichlalan Shasrei Mitzvot, meaning there's 19 mitzvot in this set of halachot. 18 asay, one lotasay, v'zehu pratan. And then he lists what they are. We're going to look at some of them. And then he says, in every case, he says, uvior mitzvot elu b'prakim elu. The expansion of these mitzvot is in these prakim, and then he's off to the races. So in other words, he says, okay, we're going to talk about Tefillin Musafim. There's 19 mitzvot. Here's what the mitzvot are, and here's the details of how to do these mitzvot. Hilchot Kriyat Shema, one mitzvah. And that's a mitzvah to read Shema in the morning and evening, and here's how the explanation of it for Prakim. Right? So there we go. So if you take a look here in Hilchot Tefillin Musafim, which, by the way, includes the Omer and Sfirat Omer, a lot of other things that are, well, you would think of tangential. The first one is Lakriv Shnei Kvasim B'chol Yom Olot. So what's the first thing he says? Olat, the Olot of morning and evening, afternoon. Lahadlik Eish Al HaMizbeach B'chol Yom. Look at that. The next mitzvah he lists is lighting the fire on the Mizbeach, as if there is no independent Mizbeach, there's just Olot. And then Shalol Chabota, that's the one Lotas say in this whole thing, to not extinguish it. Larim et Hadeshen b'chol yom. And then the Torah every day, the menorah every day, and then all the korbanot that are brought as public regular korbanot, whether it's the korban of the Kohen Gadol or the musafin of each day, etc., etc. But notice what's strange here. And the Rambam was very careful, not only with his wording, but with his sequencing. I would have expected that you would have had Aleph and Bet, sorry, Aleph, and then afterwards I would have had probably Chet, Tet, Yod, and all the way to the end, and then the rest. I would have started with Olat, the Tamid, then all the Musafim. And then I would have gone to probably Zion, which is the Kohen Gadol's daily Korban. And then I would have probably done Hay and Va, which is the Torah and the Menorah. And at the end I would have said Bet, Gimel, Dalet, to have fire on the Mizbeach. And yet fire on the Mizbeach comes at the beginning, as if to say this is part of what Olat HaTamid is. The Olat HaTamid is the constant fire on the Mizbeach, which leads to the prohibition of extinguishing the fire, and of course taking the deshen off is that little bit of Truma act. As if to say, what's the Olat HaTamid? And by the way, how is an Olah that's brought in the morning and hours later in the afternoon, and then many hours later the next morning, how is it Tamid? It's Tamid because of one thing, and that's the Eish.
It doesn't go out.
The Eish never goes out. And that's why the first thing that the Kohen does in the day is Trumat HaDeshen. He takes a little bit of that and lifts it next to the Mizbeach. He's not taking out. This is not garbage removal. This is a Truma of taking, here is a little bit of the Korban Olah that we brought, and now we're removing it from the Mizbeach, putting it in a special place next to the Mizbeach. In other words, there's a tmidiyut to the whole thing. The Mizbeach is Mizbach HaTamid. And the Mizbeach has a lot of tmidiyut to it, including the badim that are in the side of the Mizbeach. They never leave, just like their own. And so the Ola, the morning Ola and the evening Ola, are what generate the two poles, the daily poles of that tmidiyut. But now let's think about why that's the case. And it's something that...
On Shabbat, by the way, Shabbat also?
Say it again?
Shabbat also, they have the Olah burning?
Every day. There's no
right,
day...
It doesn't stop. Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippurim, every day.
There's and do they have enough on there overnight that they have to add more...
Absolutely. 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 If fire is always going on the Mizbeach, there's particular halachot about how to handle it on Shabbat, but fire is always going on the Mizbeach.
Okay.
Right? It never allowed to put it out. Right? That's an Isur of Lo Techabeh. Okay, now, why is it that the Tamid, that the Olat Tamid, so much defines the Mizbeach? So I want us to go back and think, if you are B'nai Israel at the foot of Har Sinai, and you hear about a Mishkan that you're going to be building, and the Mishkan is going to have as its centerpiece the Aron. We've talked about this in the past, and the Mishkan is chiefly about Hashem's presence being there and ability to continue communication with Moshe and continue to give mitzvot. But along with that, of course, there is korbanot. And there's a setup for the Mizbach HaPnimi, and there's a parochet, which is also going to play a role in certain korbanot, and then the Mizbach outside, and that's presented as part of the Mishkan. If I am a member of B'nai Israel and I've left Mitzrayim, when I think korbanot, what am I thinking of? So you're going to tell me Korban Pesach, and I'm going to come back to you and say not necessarily. Because again, I think of Korban Pesach as something we did once in our history as a communal feast in the house, as a time of protection, the dam on the door, it doesn't resonate as a korban. I know that korbanot exist. I know that Moshe Rabbeinu at the foot of Har Sinai built a mizbeach and brought korbanot, but that seemed to be a singular event for the purpose of kritat brit. And that's what happens there. Moshe makes a brit with, between Hashem and Bnei Israel with the korbanot. Chatzi adam al mizbeach, chatzi adam al Bnei Israel, brit ha'aganot. We're familiar with it. But if I hear korban, I open up Vayikra, and I see a man can bring a korban, what in my tribal memory is evoked? The answer is the Akedah. That's what I think of in our family history. What was the korban par excellence? It was the Akedah. And what was the Akedah? It was obviously an Olah. It's all about an Olah. Because what is an Olah? An Olah is, I am taking this precious animal of mine, by the way, in lieu of my precious son, by the way, Ramban, in lieu of my precious self, the Ramban, in Perak Aleph Pasuk Tet, in Vayikra, and I'm putting it on his back, offering it all up to God. It is absolute subjugation, abnegation, totally giving yourself off to Hashem. Korban, you're coming close to Hashem by offering yourself to Hashem. So the Mizbeach is Mizbeach HaOlah because all Korbanot stem from the Olah. The Olah is not just another Korban like Shlamim and Chatat, etc. All Korbanot are Olah. They all go up. And the difference is that with a Chatat and an Asham, the Kohanim get to eat some of it, and Kohanim Ochlim Ubaalim mit kaprim. The Kohanim eat it, and that is part of our kapara, because part of what we're doing in bringing a chatat and asham is also, we're also feeding the Kohanim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving them food. What about a shlamim? A shlamim, we have to think of in very different terms. A shlamim is a communal feast, and there are three partners there. There is the donor, there are the Kohanim, and there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And everybody's getting their due. But when I think about the idea of a korban, I think olah. And therefore the mizbeach on which the korbanot go is called mizbeach ha'olah. And therefore the tmidiyut, the constancy of that korban and of that presence of Am Yisrael standing in front of Hashem constantly, sort of bilvavi mishkan evnen, play that through in your head. Or korban akriv lo et nafshi ayichida, the beautiful poem by Yehuda Levi, that essentially what I'm doing with the Eish, Al HaMizbeach, all the time, that is defining the Mizbeach HaOlah. So when you look at this parsha, we have to see it differently. Zot Torah HaOlah. This is the Torah of Korbanot. This is the Torah of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He HaOlah Al Mokdal Mizbeach Kol Ayla Boker. And the example you can look at is at night. It burns all night because by burning all night, you have tamid. It's the mizbeach that's burning, the fire of the mizbeach. And the kohen puts on the special clothes and he does the trumat hadeshen, that the fire on the mizbeach is eating the olah, and he puts it next to the mizbeach. This is not removal. And then he puts on other clothes and takes it out. That's the removal. And v'eishom mizbeach tukad bo l'tichbeah. Never put out that fire. That's the tamid. And the Kohen has to put wood on there every morning and put the olah on it and then burn the other chalavim on it. It's all part of what the olah is. And the fire has to never go out. The fire is the fire of the Mizbech. The fire is the fire of Am Yisrael's commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the tamid that this parsha is about. So we open up and we look at Zot Torah Ta'olah and it stands so differently from the other Torot, Torah Ta'mincha, Torah Ta'chatat. It's because the Olah is not just a Korban Olah. The Olah is all of the Korbanot. And they're all Olot. They're all going up partially or totally. And the Olah Tatamid is the ballast, if you will, for the Mizbeach, is the signpost for the Mizbeach, is the identifier of the Mizbeach. And that is how our Avodah before HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes solidified on a daily basis.
Two questions. So overnight they can add more wood or animals to the Mizbeach?
Animals, no.
Just wood.
Animals go on the Mizbeach only, when they're offered, but then they're burned all night. And his idea is that whatever's up there is being burned all night. So one thing you know is up there at night is going to be the Tamid Shobin Arbaim.
I'm saying, but that anima, that may burn out very quickly, so they just have to keep putting wood to keep the fire going.
Yeah, absolutely, but it's not going to burn so quickly. Bones, talking about a lot of stuff.
I have another question. Was there an awning or a tent over the Mizbeach in case of rain?
Nope.
Okay, that's number two. Wait, I had a third question.
All right, send it to me, text.